Imagine you're a mother giving advice to your son about finding a godly woman. What would you say? Well, Proverbs, the 31st chapter, verses 10 through 31, answers this question. Let's listen as Pastor Jerry Seawright shares a Mother's Day message entitled, Woman Strong. Welcome to Precepts, a podcast sermon ministry of New Life Community Church, located in Pontiac, Michigan. Our church's vision is proclaiming Christ and equipping saints in the bond of fellowship. During each podcast series, Pastor Elder Jerry Seawright addresses biblical and doctrinal topics impacting Christians' daily living. Feel free to visit the media section of our website at www.nlccpontiac.org to download as well as take sermon notes during the podcast.
For those who have Bibles and tablets, I ask that you turn to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. We're going to talk about woman strong. Woman strong. But while you are turning there, let me just say a few words. One is that I just want to thank Kelsey, and really I want to thank Sister Williamson for just coaching her along, building up her confidence to do those boards out there. Amen. She did a great job. I understand she had a great coach. And then also I want to encourage you all on Tuesday nights, it's prayer and Bible study. Let me just give you a testimony of my own. You know, I was in the office studying for a message on Tuesday night. And all of a sudden, I began to just pay attention to the prayers that was being prayed out here in the sanctuary by the saints. I could not study. Those prayers got a hold of me, and I was back there just like praising God. It was just listening to the prayers of the saints on that Tuesday night. And I ask you all to come and join in as well. It's a powerful thing to hear believers cry out to God. Amen. And then we start there, and then we end up with a great Tuesday night Bible study. I tell you, we've had some great topics, and we are about to venture on another great topic. And the emphasis is on evangelism. The other thing is I want to encourage the church to help me encourage the young people here. And I'm asking that for those who can, as I stated, is to encourage the young people. You heard it mentioned about Elevate. And Elevate is it's like a Christian camp for children ages, I believe, is it 7th through 12th grade? And we sponsored a few children last year to go. And I tell you, if you remember the pictures and the fun that they had in the Lord, amen? They had fun in the Lord. And they came back encouraged and on fire, and they were all lit. Did I use that right? They were lit. They're excited and pumped up, amen? And we want to get behind them once again as a church. So that's why I'm asking now that for those who can sponsor, it's expensive. It's expensive. Just think, sending your kid or your child to this camp, I think it's like about $200. So just think if you had to pay $200 multiple times. Now the church is going to put its money where its mouth is. Amen? But we're asking for those who feel led to sponsor a child to go, to get lit. To get lit for Jesus. Amen? We're going to ask you all if you're moved to do just that, I ask you to see our youth leaders. Amen? And I believe, Sister Marnie, I want to just point you out for that, to see Sister Marnie. Amen. Now, I want to just pause for a moment before I go and preach this message, to just give honor to the women. We want to hand out something to you all. And I know that you all play mother to someone in some way. So we want to just honor you on today with a rose. And I'm just going to pause. There were four generations of love on her face. She was so wise, no surprise past her eyes. She showing great control up here. That's one of my songs there. Mothers, we appreciate you. Amen. Amen. As we get to the task at hand, I want to read, before I begin, scripture. And this scripture comes from Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31. If you can, just read along with me silently. I'll read out loud. And I'm going to read from the NASB version. So it says, an excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flocks and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children pray, rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates." Wow. Wow. By way of introduction, you know, I grew up watching Bill Kennedy at the movies. And if you remember Bill Kennedy at the movies, you know at time he came on. So don't dog me about that. Yeah, I missed a lot of school. But Bill Kennedy at the movies, he would show a lot of old movies. And as a youngster, one thing that would kind of like get me at the edge of my seat were dying scenes of those old movies. If you remember, the dying scenes were so dramatic. They, you know, you would be on the edge of your seat because you wonder if the guy or the woman, if they were going to get those words out to tell who shot them or who did this to them. They would be like breathing and tell Joe. And I'm like, oh, man. They don't know. How will they know? And comedians, you know, they got this thing where they took that scene and they began to, you know, kind of like replicate it, but the person would die over and over and over and over again. So they would like pass out for a minute and wake back up, pass out again and wake back up, say a few more words like, "Tell Joe that I..." Very dramatic. But talking about old movies, if you want to see a brother cry, just turn on Imitation of Life. That is one of my favorite movies. And if I were to try to tell you all about that movie now, I still wouldn't spoil it for you. It's that great of a movie, and I would advise everyone to just sit down and watch that movie. What a great, great movie. So, what would be the thing you would want to tell your son? What would you want to emphasize to your son? And it doesn't have to be a dying scene where you're dying and it's, you know, you're on your dying bed and the last words. I'm just saying, what would you want to, like, communicate to your son, to your baby, to your loving child, your beloved son? What would you want to tell him? What is one thing you would want to tell him? Well, Proverbs 31, a lot of folks kind of skip over the fact that this is a woman, a mother, telling her son a few things, and mainly one thing, and that is, son, you need to pick a good woman. You need to pick a good woman. But before she gets to that main point of choosing a good woman, she wants to tell him in the early verses, one, don't go chasing after women. Just spending your youth and your energy and your resources just chasing after women. She also wants to tell him not only not to chase, but not to get all into this getting high stuff, drinking, and wasting time. That's not a productive way to spend your youth. And then she also wants to tell him to contend for those who sometimes can't protect themselves. Be about justice. And then she goes off into choose a good woman. Not only a good woman, but a godly woman. You know, it's amazing because she did not leave it up to society to coach her son on how to choose a woman. Because society's standards are just as fluid as water. You know, in the 1960s, you had sunshine on a cloudy day. And when it's cold outside, you had the month of May. My girl. And then in the 70s, you had she's a brick house. She's mighty, mighty, just letting it all hang out. And then in the 80s, you had part-time lover. Then if you zoom to recent times, now folks are saying I got 99 problems and a ain't one. She didn't leave it to society to say, this is how you choose one. This is how I want you to choose one. You know, it's interesting as well, because she didn't say, you know, son, I want to sit you down and show you how to pick a chick. How to mack a female. How to finesse a side piece. These are terms I hear today. She did not say that. She said how to choose a wife. How to choose a wife. I was reading a few writers this week, and one quote jumped out at me, and it's by Linder. Linder said, heresies are generated from Christianity seed, but nourished outside the church. Heresies are generated from Christianity seed, but nourished outside the church. Let's explain that, or as they say today, let's chop that up. Let's chop it up. Folks get a little truth from the church, twist that up, then turn it on the church. And then all of a sudden, the church is attacked by a misrepresented truth that it teaches. Right? And then they get that misrepresented truth, build upon it, propagate it, and then they call themselves starting a noble cause or noble movement. This mother did not leave it to society to teach her son how to choose a life partner. As I stated before, she got off into her main point. She wanted her son to understand, watch out for what you chase for, what you crave for, and who you contend for. Then she said, I want to get off into picking a good wife, a good partner. She starts off by saying, who can find a virtuous woman? Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. And in the NASB, it says, an excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. This mother posed that question to her son to basically explain to him that it's possible to find a good woman. It is possible to find a good wife. It is possible, but it's not easy. You hear what she's saying? You got to be careful. You got to be shrewd. You got to check it out. You got to really look to find a good woman. Proverbs 18 and 22 says this, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. But we don't want you all to get it twisted. Just because you have to do a little work in finding one, that did not say, you know, from your convenience, you just say, well, ain't no more. There ain't no more. So, I mean, there ain't no more. So I guess I'll just, you know, just do what I do. Because it's ain't no more out there. I'll be like, you know, Taco Bell. I'll get me a 5-piece box. Give me a 5-side-piece box. And I mean, ain't no more out there. No, we don't, no, It says that you're going to have to do a little work, but there are more out there, and they're represented in all shapes and colors. Amen? There are good, virtuous women out there. A virtuous woman. If you believe the hype, you'll buy into the notion that woman strong equals burning your bra, putting on some shoes, having few to no kids, right, and staying out of the kitchen. And telling a man, anything you can do, I can do better. That if you believe the hype, then that's your definition of woman strong. But that's not the definition of a woman's strength that the Bible calls for. It's not the definition that the Bible states. The Bible outlines a woman's strength in Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31. And because of time, I don't have the time to just go through all of what these verses describe. But I'll sum them up and give you an overview by saying this. She says, son, she gets up, work, dresses the children, dress herself. And I mean, dress herself. She feeds. She sees that the lights are on. She's thorough. She gets up at night. She gives to the poor. She makes clothes if she has to. She's trustworthy, industrious, intelligent, kind, bold, farsighted, respected, artistic, talented, loved and praised by her husband and children. That's woman strong. That's woman strong. That's what is outlined in these verses, saying that a woman's strength is all of these characteristics because it's anchored by something. It's anchored by something, and that anchor is in Christ. Christ is her lead. In fact, Christ is so her lead that she follows his example in 2 Corinthians. And I want to read verses in that fifth chapter, verses 13 through 15, concentrating on 15. But 2 Corinthians, fifth chapter, verses 13 through 15. It reads as follows. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Do you get the message in that? The message in that is that a woman who is strong, according to God's definition, is a woman who understands what she's blessed with by God. And what she's blessed with is actually for others. What God has equipped her with is for her family, to build her family up, to build her children up, to build her husband up. In other words, she gives strength. She is able to give strength. That's woman strong. Because the deep thing is this, is if she blesses her family with what God gave her, then guess what? Scripture says, in this very scripture, it says that it's reciprocal, because her children rise up to praise her, and her husband is saying, man, do I have an awesome woman. Ooh, she treats me well. She takes care of business. See, her praise, she don't have to praise herself. She don't have to go around boasting about herself, because her children and her husband, they do that for her. In her strength, in what the Lord blessed her with, she strengthens her family, and it also even extends to the community, where she's a blessing to the community. In 1 Corinthians 3rd chapter, verses 12 through 15, it says, now if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident. For the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. She knows what to build on. She knows that only what you do for Christ will last. And that's how she approaches the ministry of her family. She approaches the ministry of her family by understanding that she is that set minister, that set quarterback, so to speak, to keep this family running. And that doesn't require selfishness. That requires selflessness. Amen. You know, Elder Williamson a while ago preached a message entitled "The Hand That Rocks the Cradle Rules the World." As I stated before, that heresy out there states that the Pauline letters written by the Apostle Paul, demeans women, demeans them. Look at them. It tells them to be quiet and everything else, and saying that they were the weaker vessel, and it demeans them. But in actuality, when you really read and study that from its context, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Because home and wife, or home and woman, do you know that they are actually the same word in Hebrew? In Hebrew, they're the same word. Home, wife or woman, home. That's how important you are. The seat of teaching comes from home. Learning your manners come from home. Learning how to treat folks come from home. All of those important skills that children start off on comes from home. And if you line up the amount of songs that folks have written about father and mother, man, it's probably, 10 to 1? It's all these songs over here like, I always love my mama. And the cat in the cradle and the silver spoon. Remember that song? See, that's what I'm saying. It's like all of these loving songs about mother. Mother is so pivotal in a family's life. But here's the thing. When you have a godly woman that's doing the right thing, family, don't let other folks outside the home outpraise you in praising her. Don't let folks outside the house outdo you in praising her. Give her her praise. If she is doing what the Lord has called her to do, and she is taking care of business, give her her due. Give her her roses. Give her her praise. Give her her praise. Amen. Amen. Because, women, here's the challenge. The Lord says, do what he told you to do in spite of him. Sometimes in spite of him. He may not be doing right, but the Lord told you to continue to do what's right. Amen? Because on that day, you cannot appear before the Lord and say, that one you gave me, he did, and that's why I didn't do it, Lord. That is why I wasn't that woman. That's why I wasn't that woman, because of him, the one you gave me. You see what I'm saying? That's the blame game. Same thing that Adam said in the garden. When the Lord said, hey, what's wrong, Adam? Well, that woman you gave me. How do you point the finger at God? Well, the woman you gave me. See, on that day, you cannot point the finger at anyone. God has given you a job to do. And that is if he is in step with you or if he's out of step. Your goal is to be this virtuous woman. One other writer said this when he was burying his mother. He preached her eulogy and he said, you know, this scripture of Proverbs 31 is the statue. But my mother may not have been the statue, but she was the shadow of that statue. Because she tried to live her life just like this standard. This is a tough standard. That's what he was trying to say. This is tough. This is a tough standard. And this is a standard that is God's standard, and you need him to even try to fulfill this standard. This is something you can't do on your own. You need his help. You need his help. You need his help. And you need his help to do all of what this woman was doing, because she was a godly woman. She relied on God. You need God's help to get up when you're tired and you don't want to. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. You get up in the morning, early in the morning. You, Lord, I need you. And your day has been full, full. And then all of a sudden, you hear cries in the night. Your body say, tell him to do it this time. But then you, help me, Lord. And you get up. Trustworthy and industrious and intelligent, kind, bold, far-sighted. All of these qualities, artistic, talented, loving, all of these qualities come from a good relationship with God. And the husband that was praising her said, you know, a lot of daughters, a lot of women, they've done nobly. They've done nobly. But you excel them all. You excel them all. You're a notch above. So how do we celebrate mothers on today? Those who are striving to be this virtuous woman. You know, often I've heard a lot of women refer to their mothers as being the virtuous woman. And that's awesome. That's awesome. And there are a lot of women that are working to be this virtuous woman. And I'm just saying that, give them praise. Give them encouragement, because they are doing something. They got their eye on a standard that will strengthen the family, that will improve the family, and also extend even to the community. So I do applaud you all today, mothers. Those who are mothers, those who are sacrificing, those who have put their own dreams, honestly, on pause for a moment. On pause for a moment to strengthen others. I applaud you. You know, I can say, you know, publicly, I think I got me one. You know, I have this principle that it ain't in the, you won't see it in, you know, Jerry first chapter verse 3. And you won't see, it's just something that I went by, you know, whereas with my children, I praise them in the house, but, you know, publicly, I didn't, you know, just like, oh yeah, 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 he's doing this and she's doing that and she's doing the other. No. And I just like, you know, chill. But like I said, in our private time, I'm like, you go, girl. You go, boy. See, that was me. But now that I have a granddaughter, nah. My kids can go ahead and be, you know, silent about their praise about her. I'm going to shout it to the rooftop. I love my sugar loaf. Oh, she's my sugar loaf. It ain't nothing like a grandbaby. Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's my sugar loaf. And today, I'm just saying I'm going to pause from my own rule to say that I got me a good wife. I do. I gotta figure out a nickname. Sugarloaf is gone. Sugarloaf is gone, so I gotta figure out a nickname. Sugar Mama. Oh, yes. Honor the mothers on today. But here's the point, and here's the main point. Here's the main point. You need the Lord to be the woman that you are designed to be. You need him. You need him. You need his strength. You need his power. You need his direction. You need his wisdom. You need him. He designed you to need him. It's just like David Jeremiah stated, that there's a hole, he made your heart, but then he kept a hole in it. And that hole can only be filled by him. It only can be filled by him. So I offer you today, Christ. I offer Christ to you today. For those who don't know him, for those who's outside of the ark of safety, and you don't know him as your personal Savior, I pray today, I beg you today to get it right with him. Don't leave here today without making that decision for him to be not only your Savior, but your Lord. Your Lord and your Savior on today. And if there's one that would like to make that decision, or if there's one that would like to know more about this church, this New Life Church, if there's one that have questions and want just prayer, there will be those here. There will be saints here in front of the church, available to talk to you, available for you. And as I stated, if you just want prayer, don't hesitate to come forward to be anointed by the elders.
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter at NLCC Pontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you.